I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes on the opening verse in 1 John chapter 2, where John, writing to believers, says this: "My little children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin, so that you may not sin. My little children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin." Clearly, he's writing to believers. And he wants them to live godly, holy, sanctified lives. And he's writing to these believers and spelling out what he says is these things, to stir these believers, to challenge these believers, to encourage these believers, to motivate these believers, to bring these believers to a place where they live sanctified lives, Christ-like. Now, surely nobody can question that that is what John is doing here. "My little children, I write these things to you. I'm telling you these things. I'm stressing these things. I'm explaining these things so that you will not sin. I want to encourage you. I want to stir you. I want to provoke you. I want to challenge you. I want to urge you. I want to press you to live to the glory of God a holy, sanctified life." Very well. Now, I'm preparing this clip, publishing this clip, under the title New Covenant Theology Made Simple. So, clearly I've got an axe to grind. Well, the axe I have to grind is to simply put Scripture before men. But there is a background to it. Surely all believers, apart from rank libertines, really do believe that it is essential for professing Christians to live a life God-glorifying, obedient, sanctified and holy in this present evil age. The question is, though, what is the motive? What is the means? What is the way? What is the rule? What is the principle? What is the apostolic way of getting this goal of a sanctified life? Well, they give us the Scriptures for a start, don't they? They give us their commands, the apostolic commands. They issue them in the name of Jesus, completing, as he promised, his law for them, for the believers, for all time. "The Spirit will lead you into all truth. I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now," he promised. "But the Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you and lead you into all truth." And we believe, do we not, that the apostles have set out the law of Christ for us in their writings. And we have the external Scriptures to calibrate us and govern us and rule us and guide us and instruct us and reprove us and rebuke us and correct us and lead us in righteousness and godliness. Yes, we have the Scriptures. But what does John say here? "I stress these things," he says. I tell you these things. I put these things before you that you might live a sanctified life. Now, covenant theologians say that that is the law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments in particular. Now, they squirm when you challenge them on it, but following John Calvin, they say that we must stress the law, preach the law, because the law is the perfect rule. And the law will act as a whip, beating us as lazy asses, lazy donkeys, lazy mules, stubborn, lazy. The law will whip us. Calvin's words, not mine. Read it in his Institutes. The law will whip us into a godly life. The Puritans took this up. The Reformed still do. In their writings, they will tell us that believers are a putrid organism, and we need this strident law whipping us into sanctification. This is the axe I have to grind, if you like. I want to challenge that. I challenge it on the basis of this text. This is precisely the place where John must stress the law of Moses, the whip, if he's going to walk in what will later become Calvin's way, the Reformed way, the evangelical way. But these things I write to you, he says, that you sin not. Now, what did he mean when he said these things? Remember that these people did not have the benefit of a written copy which they could all take home and peruse. They were hearing it read. Therefore, although the whole letter can be included in these things, and I would include the whole letter, mainly it must be that which is immediately preceding this verse and that which immediately follows. Remember again that there were no verses in those days. It was just one continuous discourse. So what John has just said and what John would just go on to say must be primarily the things he's writing to make these believers, to encourage these believers to live a sanctified life. These things. Well, it's not the law, is it? Now, if you go to the wider context, the whole letter, you see commands come up. The word commands come up quite a lot. But if you look at those places, see how the commands nearly always refer, if not always, refer to the commands of Christ. John remembers John 14 to 16. The commands of Christ. I put it to you that he's not writing about the law of Moses given to Israel on Sinai, because he's writing to Gentiles and they do not have the law. The context makes it very clear throughout John that it's the entire scriptures as nuanced by the new covenant that he's talking about, and primarily the law of Christ himself as given, the commands of Christ as given, say in John 14 to 16. But the law of Christ, of course, includes the whole scripture as nuanced by the new covenant. But that's by the way, because it's the immediate context here. As I said, these early believers couldn't take this book home and peruse it at their leisure. They were hearing it read. Perhaps many of them couldn't even read. But they were hearing it read to them. And what would they hear read? These things, I tell you. These things I insist on. These things I teach you. These things I write, that you do not sin. Now, what has he just said? Well, you follow along in your Bible, you can see. Just before he has talked about this, Christ dying for sinners, the precious blood of Christ washing sinners from their sins, and God in his faithfulness and justice on the account of Christ's work, forgiving all those who confess their sins to him and trust him. Why faithful? Why just? Because God had promised his son that if his son would come into the world and live and die for sinners, God would reward him with his seed. You shall see your seed, and it shall prosper. I will save all and forgive all who call upon me on the basis of your finished work. That is what John has just written about. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what does he go on immediately to say? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the propitiation for our sins, ever interceding for us, pleading for us. These are the things that John writes to keep believers from sinning. God's faithfulness and justice to forgive all who call upon the name of the Lord and wash them from their sins and justify them perfectly. once they are there, if they stumble and fall, to assure them that Christ's sacrifice avails, and he ever lives to make intercession for them, so that they will never be condemned. Can I picture it, my friends? It's as though he puts the believer in between two jaws of a vice. This jaw is forgiveness for sins past. Forgiveness for all sins on the basis of the finished work of Christ. God's faithfulness. And this jaw, Christ's permanent intercession, pleading for the sinner that he'll never perish. He'll never be condemned. And the believer, John puts him in between. And what does he say? I bring these two jaws together and I clasp the sinner, the believer, in those jaws. And whichever way he looks, he sees Christ's forgiveness, Christ's intercession. And this is what drives him, motivates him, springs him, moves him to sanctification. Now be honest. Well, I'll be honest. If you look at that at face value, it sounds bonkers. What? You want people to live a godly life, so you tell them all their sins up till now are forgiven, and all their future sins are forgiven by the work, the merits of Jesus Christ, and the faithfulness and the justice of God. His death, Christ's death, and Christ's intercession guarantees that they will never be condemned. And this is the motive, the spring, the rule, the governance for the believer's sanctification. I say to you, it sounds bonkers. Surely you should have to stress rule, command, fear, whip. Make them realize that if they step out of line, they're going to get clobbered. Put the fear of God into them. That'll drive them to sanctification. Well, that's what's being said. I know they squirm, but that's what the Reformed and the Evangelicals are telling us. With the whip. But John did not say it. And therefore it is not bonkers. It is gospel truth. The staggering thing is, the way that I live a sanctified life as a believer is by meditating upon, considering, keeping in view the precious love of God to me through Jesus Christ, the effective sacrifice for my sins, that my sins, not in part but the whole, are blotted out forever. And even when I fall now, the merits and the intercession of Christ will still present me faultless before the throne of God. I know the retort that will be made, antinomianism. This is the way to encourage sin. Well, you can level it at me, my friends. But before you level it at me, level it at John the Apostle. Because he said it. My little children, I write these things to you. The faithfulness, the justice of God to forgive you on the merits of Jesus, on the blood of Christ. I'll forgive you, he says. And if you sin, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you. So make your accusation, if you will, to John. But as for me, I will bear your scorn. I will hear your blackballing of me, antinomianism, your dismissal. Say it, my friend, if you will. But as for me, I will stand with the apostle, and I will look to Jesus. And because of love for him, by the Spirit of God, I want to please him. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will live a life that will reflect his glory. Oh, I will fail, but blessed be his name. Even then, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, still cleanses me from all sin. This is covenant theology. No, this is new covenant theology. Covenant theology is whip and lash, putrid organism, lazy asses. What is the gospel? What is the new covenant? New covenant theology is Jesus, 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 the faithfulness of God, the power of the Spirit. This not only saves, it sanctifies. I encourage every believer who's watching this, listening to this. I know your fears, or I can imagine them. What might be said about you if you take this route? The confessions don't say it, do they? The great teachers of the seminaries don't say it, do they? No. The great pastors and rulers and writers don't say it, do they? No. The Puritans don't say it, do they? But John does, doesn't he? John says, my little children, what a lovely phrase. I write these things to you, that you sin not. Therefore I will meditate on these things. Jesus and his love and his death for me, his prayers for me, and that will enable me to live a life to the glory of God. I encourage you to take the same route.